That's why Bhagavad Gita is such a is so perfect, because we learn from the Bhagavad Gita how to accept the message of Krishna. In what spirit, in what mode? If it was just Krishna speaking, then there might be some doubt. Oh, how am I to understand his words? What does he mean? Always think of me, and so on and so forth. So many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna refers to himself. Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. Maya savamidam protam sutre manigana eva. There's no truth superior to me, Krishna says. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So, how are we to understand this? Aham savasya prabhavo matak savam pravartate iti mat bhava jantima buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of the material and the spiritual worlds. Everything comes from me. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. How are we to understand this? Is this a joke? Who is this person, Krishna? Is he a politician? Is he a cheater? Is he a woman hunter? What is he? Speaking Bhagavad Gita. How are we to understand? This sounds fantastic. Everything comes from Krishna. He's standing there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's the chariot driver of Arjuna. He's saying everything is coming from him. How are we to understand this? So therefore Arjuna, he solves the problem. Param Dhamma, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, Purusham Sasvadam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum, Ahushtvam Rishaye Sarve, Devashi Narada Tata, Asito Devala Vyasa, Svayam Chaiva Bravisi Me, Sarvamitad Ritam Manye, Yan Mam Vedashi Keshava, Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidor Devana Dharnava. Oh, Arjuna says, you are the Supreme Brahman, you are the Supreme Abode, you are the Supreme Divine Person, Supreme Purifier. All the great sages like Devala and Vyas, they have all confirmed this about you. And now you're saying this to me, yourself directly. I totally accept everything you say as true. Sarvami tadritam manye yan mam vedashi kishava. So this is the way we have to accept Bhagavad Gita, in the spirit of Arjuna. No other way. So this is why Bhagavad Gita is so important. It's a conversation between spiritual master and his disciple. And we learn from this the way, without doubt, in which the disciple has to understand Krishna. He is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no doubt about it. There can be no doubt about it when you hear from Arjuna. And it's confirmed in this verse. Krishna is explaining it to Arjuna. Why? Because you are my very dear friend. And in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that he's Bhaktosi me sakha chaiti rahasyam hiya tat uttamam. Because you are my devotee and my friend, therefore I'm explaining to you, therefore you can enter into the mystery of my understanding. So it is a mystery if you're not a devotee. So only a devotee can understand Krishna. Because otherwise, it's too incredible. How can a person be God? Okay, most of us are so heavily contaminated with impersonalism that is almost impossible to believe that a person can be God. How can a person be so great? I'm such a feeble person. I'm threatened with extinction at every moment. Anything can happen. I drop the bomb. I slip on a banana peel. I can fall down the stairs. I can get electrocuted. I can, get food poisoning. Then what will happen to me? So we're so insecure. We think, how can God be a person like me? So we're like frogs in a well. We're thinking, because I'm just a little frog in my well, that the Atlantic Ocean doesn't exist. So this is our mentality. So we prefer to think God, he cannot be a person. So only actually a devotee who practices understanding Krishna, that God is a person, only a devotee can understand the truth. Atasi Krishna nama adi nabhavet grayam indrayi sevana mukahi jivado svayam eva svarat yada. In the I think it's the Padma Purana, it says that nobody can understand Krishna by his blunt material senses, by measurement, by theoretical means, by philosophy, and so on, by these speculative methods. Nobody can understand Krishna. Sevana mukha hi jivado svayam eva svarat yadaha. When we become saturated with devotional service, beginning with the tongue, sevana mukha hi jivado, when we begin to serve Krishna by chanting his name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Or we begin to say Krishna by saying, Vitashan, Naman Zibit, that is for thee. This is also serving Krishna. We're giving out Krishna's books, and we're talking about Krishna. Vandashana Gashishna. This is using our tongue for Krishna. So when we become saturated with such mood of devotion, then Krishna reveals himself to us. So who can estimate the position of Arjuna? Many, many lifetimes. Arjuna has been taking birth with Krishna. He's his eternal associate. And he's taking part in his leela, hearing Bhagavad Gita. This is his eternal leela. It's inconceivable. But this is for our benefit, that Arjuna, apparently he's in Maya. He's concerned about his family, concerned about so many deaths on the battlefield. The women will be degraded, be unwanted children. He's foreseeing that Kali Yuga will come as a result of all these unwanted deaths. But no, Krishna says you're in Maya. Simply, you're forgetting that you are the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is for our benefit that Arjuna's questioning Krishna. Anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. So that is our aim in this Krishna conscious movement, to become a dear friend to Krishna and to become a confidential associate of Krishna, just like Arjuna. So we have to follow the path of Arjuna. So what is the path of Arjuna? The path of Arjuna is that he surrenders to Krishna. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, what does Arjuna say? Yateshasi tatakuru. I think that's fine. He says, now I will... Krishna asks Arjuna, my dear Krishna, O infallible one. Sorry. Krishna asks Arjuna, O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. Sisigonitai ki. Sisigonitai. Now Gonitai is gone. O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. So that was the result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. So that should be our result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. We should think, wow, yes, now I'm 100% fixed up, and I'm never going to deviate from the lotus feet of Krishna. I totally accept everything in Bhagavad Gita is 100% true, and I'm free from all doubts. I'm prepared to act according to your instructions. This is the result of becoming convinced by Krishna. So we have to come to this position. So, the next paragraph. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. Venam kvanantam aravindam dalayataksam varavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya visheshasobam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept on playing on his flute. Enam kvanantam aravindam dalayataksam, with eyes like, blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with a hue of blue rain clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. So in this way, Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. Which is interesting, controversial. Prabhupada is always controversial. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multiforms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So therefore Prabhupada, he established so many temples of Radha and Krishna, especially Radha and Krishna, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, mostly temples of Radha and Krishna, and of course Gauranitai. Generally, first of all, when we open a center, we worship Panchatattva. And then, if things become stabilized, we introduce Gauranitai worship. And then if everything is very settled, and we own that place, everything is pukkar and is proper standard, then we can install the deities of Radha and Krishna. So the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are that we should meditate on Radha and Krishna. So there's no discrepancy. When we worship Gauranitai, then we are approaching Radha and Krishna. We're becoming purified so that one day we'll be able to worship Radha and Krishna. So of course this is the most confidential part of knowledge. And I was thinking that this would lead into hearing a little from the Krishna book, because the gopis are considered to be the most confidential associates of Krishna, the gopis. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's elevating us to the platform of this, of understanding the relationship of the gopis and Krishna, which is the most confidential rasa. This is called Madhurya rasa. This is the most intimate rasa in the spiritual world. So in our Krishna book, which is from Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can see how the gopis, they were always remembering Krishna. How did Lord Chaitanya, he was a very strict sannyasi. He would avoid any unnecessary association with the opposite sex. He was very strict. And yet, he would claim that the gopis' love for Krishna was the highest of all. So this may seem a paradox. But actually it's not. Because this, because the love of the gopis is completely free from what we call, what we think of as sex life, mundane sex life. The gopis, they don't have any hint of that. Because mundane sex life is a selfish thing based on this body. But that is called karma or lust. And in the spiritual world, there's what is called prema or love of God. Prema pumato mahan. This is called the fifth goal of life. Dharma, artha, karma, moksha. So this is the four purusharthas. First of all, we perform some religion, then we get economic development, then we get sense gratification, then we get moksha, and then we're still frustrated. After all that. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching, no, that there's a fifth goal of life, that is to love Krishna. So the gopis, they had attained love of Krishna. So we'll just hear a bit from the Krishna book. Prabhupada, he always recommended that in the evening one can take a glass of hot milk and hear the Krishna book. This is very nice. So this is reading from chapter 12. Sri Bhanga Prabhu. This is, actually it's not chapter 12, it's volume 2, chapter 12. It's delivery of the message of Krishna to the gopis by Uddhava. Krishna, 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 hey. 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 Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Pahimam. Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Pahimam. Krishna, 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 hey, hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Krishna 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 Hare Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Hahimam Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Hahimam Krishna 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 Rakshamam Krishna 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 Pahimam Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Pahimam Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Pahimam Chapter 12 Delivery of the Message of Krishna to the Gopis. When the Gopis saw Uddhava, they observed that his features almost exactly resembled the features of Krishna, and they could understand that he was a great devotee of Krishna's. His hands were very long, and his arms were just like the petals of the lotus flower. He was dressed in yellow-colored garments and wore a garland of lotus flowers. His face was very beautiful. Having achieved the liberation of Sarupya and having the same bodily features as the Lord, Uddhava looked almost like Krishna. In Krishna's absence, the gopis had been coming dutifully to visit Mother Yashoda's house early in the morning. They knew that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were always grief-stricken, and they had made it their first duty to come and pay their respects to the most exalted elderly personalities of Vrindavan. Seeing the friends of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda would remember Krishna himself and be satisfied. And the gopis also would be pleased by seeing Nanda and Yashoda. When the gopis saw that Uddhava was representing Krishna even in his bodily features, they thought that he must be a soul completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They began to contemplate, "Who is this boy who looks just like Krishna? He has the same eyes like lotus petals, the same raised nose and beautiful face, and he is smiling in the same way. In all respects, he is resembling Krishna, Shyamasundara, the beautiful dark boy. He is even dressed exactly like Krishna. Where has this boy come from? Who is the fortunate girl who has him for a husband?" Thus they talked amongst themselves. They were very anxious to know about him, and because they were simply unsophisticated village girls, they surrounded Uddhava. When the gopis understood that Uddhava had a message from Krishna, they became very happy and called him to a secluded place to sit down. They wanted to talk with him very freely and did not want to be embarrassed before unknown persons. They began to welcome him with polite words in great submissiveness. "We know that you are a most confidential associate of Krishna, and that he has therefore sent you to Vrindavan to give solace to his father and mother. We can understand that family affection is very strong. Even great sages who have taken to the renounced order of life cannot give up family members. Krishna has therefore sent you to his father and mother. Otherwise he has no further business in Vrindavan. He is now in town. What does he have to know about Vrindavan village or the cow's pasturing grounds? These things are not at all useful for Krishna, because he is now a man in the city. So the devotees, the gopis, were completely suffering because Krishna was not there. Surely he has nothing to do with persons who do not happen to be his family members. Why should one bother about those who are outside the family, especially and specifically those who are attached as the wives of others? Krishna is interested in them as long as there is need of gratification, like the bumblebees who have interest in the flowers as long as they want to take the honey out of them. It is very natural and psychological that a prostitute does not care for her paramour as soon as he loses his money. Similarly, when the citizens find that a government is incapable of giving them full protection, they leave the country. A student, after finishing his education, gives up his relationship with the teacher and the school. A rich man, after taking his reward from his worshipper, gives him up. When the fruit season is over, the birds are no longer interested in the tree. Just after eating in the house of a lord, the guest gives up his relationship with the host. After a forest fire, when there is scarcity of green grass, the deer and other animals give up the forest. And so a man, after enjoying his girlfriend, gives up his connection with her. In this way, all the gopis began to indirectly accuse Krishna by citing so many similes. Uddhava understood that the gopis of Vrindavan were all simply absorbed in the thought of Krishna and his childhood activities. While talking about Krishna with Uddhava, they forgot all about their household business. They even forgot about themselves in their interests, as their interest in Krishna increased more and more. One of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee, which was flying there and trying to touch her lotus feet. While another gopi was talking with Krishna's messenger Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took that bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna and began to talk with it as follows. Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from the flowers, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. I have seen on your mustaches the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the flower garland of Krishna while he was pressing the breast of some other girl, who is my competitor. You are feeling very proud by touching that flower, and your mustaches have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me. You are anxious to touch my feet. But my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't touch me. I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. It may be that Srimati Radharani purposely addressed the bumblebee sarcastically in order to criticize the messenger Uddhava. Indirectly, Srimati Radharani saw Uddhava as not only resembling Krishna's bodily feature, but as being equal to Krishna. In this way, she indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. Srimati Radharani wanted to give specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messengers. She addressed the bumblebee. Your master Krishna is exactly of your quality. You sit down on a flower, and after taking a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit in another flower and taste. You're just like your master Krishna. He gave us the chance of tasting the touch of his lips and then left altogether. I know also that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is always in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know why she has become so captivated by Krishna. She is attached to him, although she knows his actual character. As far as we are concerned, we are more intelligent than that goddess of fortune. We are not going to be cheated any more by Krishna or his messengers. According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnumurtis, so his pleasure potency, Radharani, also has innumerable expansions of goddesses of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Ji, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. Srimati Radharani continued, "You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna, but it is a useless attempt. We are bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you make up about him will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. He now has many new girlfriends, and they are no doubt very happy in association with him, because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna. They are now happy. If you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer, and therefore you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick which you are trying to play. I know that you are a messenger coming from a great trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me." Shall I continue? Goes on for pages. So actually people say that Hare Krishna people are mad. So you can see that actually Radharani, she's become mad with love for Krishna. She's talking to a bumblebee. So she's rude to the bumblebee. "I can understand that you are very expert in reuniting two opposing parties, but at the same time you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you, nor upon your master Krishna. We left our families, husbands, children, and relatives only for Krishna, and yet he did not feel any obligation in exchange. He has left us for lost. Do you think we can place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot be long without the association of young women. That is his nature. He is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village among innocent cowherd girls. He is in the aristocratic society and must be feeling difficulty in making friendship with the young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there. But why should Krishna expect us to go there? He is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. His wonderful, enchanting smile is so attractive, and the movement of his eyebrows is so beautiful, that he can call for any woman from the heavenly, middle, or plutonic planets. Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortune, also hankers to render some service. In comparison to all these women of the universe, what are we? We are very insignificant. Krishna advertises himself as very magnanimous, and he is praised by great saints. His qualifications could be perfectly utilized if he would only show us mercy, because we are downtrodden and neglected by him. You poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna. How ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life, but in his previous lives also. We have all heard this from our grandmother, Purnamashi. She has informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Bali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a Kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place and then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra, as a Kshatriya, should have fought with Bali face to face, but instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. Thus, he deviated from the religious principles of a Kshatriya. Also, he was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that he converted Shurpanakha, the sister of Ravan, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Shurpanakha proposed an intimate relationship with him. As a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her, but he was so selfish that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Shurpanakha into an ugly woman. Before that birth as a Kshatriya, he took his birth as a Brahmin boy known as Vamanadev and asked charity from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had, yet Krishna, as Vamanadev, ungratefully arrested him, just like a crow, and pushed him down to the Patala kingdom. We all know about Krishna and how ungrateful he is. But here is the difficulty. In spite of being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. Not only are we unable to give up this talk, but great sages and saintly persons are also engaged in talking about him. We gopis of Vrindavan do not want to make any more friendships with this blackish boy. But we do not know how we shall be able to give up remembering and talking about his activities. Prabhupada writes, since Krishna is absolute, his so-called unkind activities are as relishable as his kind activities. Saintly persons and great devotees like the gopis cannot give up Krishna in any circumstances. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed, Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet. We all know this sloka. Ashlishava padaratam panastumam adashanam marmahatam karotuva yatatata va vidadatu lampato matprananatastu sevanaparaha. The last sloka of Lord Chaitanya's Shishtastakam prayers. Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet, whatever you like. You may make me broken-hearted by not letting me see you throughout my whole life, but you are my only object of love. In my opinion, Srimati Radharani continued, one should not hear about Krishna, because as soon as a drop of the nectar of his transcendental activities is poured into the ear, one immediately rises above the platform of duality, attraction, and rejection. Being completely freed from the attraction of material attachment, one gives up the attachment for this material world, family, home, wife, children, and everything which is materially dear to every person. Being dispossessed of all material acquisition, one makes his relatives and himself unhappy. Then he wanders in search of Krishna, either as a human being or in other species of life, even as a bird. It is very difficult to actually understand Krishna, his name, his quality, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his entourage. Srimati Radharani continued to speak to the black messenger of Krishna, the bumblebee. Please do not talk any more about Krishna. It is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed, like the black-spotted she-deer in the forest, who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way, we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and again, we are thinking of the rays of the nails of his toes. We are becoming more and more lustful for his association. Therefore, I request you not to talk of Krishna anymore. This talk of Radharani with the bumblebee messenger and her accusing Krishna and at the same time her inability to give up talking about him are symptoms of the topmost transcendental ecstasy called Mahabhav. The ecstatic Mahabhav manifestation is possible only in the persons of Radharani and her associates. Great acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have analyzed these Mahabhav speeches of Srimati Radharani, and they have described the different sentiments such as udgurna, bewilderment, and jala pratijalpa, talking in different ways. In Radharani is found the science of Ujjala, or the brightest jewel, or love of God. While Radharani was talking with the bee, and the bee was flying hither and thither, it all of a sudden disappeared from her sight. She was in full mourning due to her separation from Krishna and was feeling ecstasy by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad, thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna to inform him all about her talking against him. Krishna must have been very sorry to hear it, she thought. In this way, she was very much overwhelmed with another type of ecstasy. Because Krishna also says in one sloka, I'm not in the hearts of the yogis. I'm not here. I'm not in other places. I am wherever my devotees are chanting my glories. Does anyone know that sloka? It's one nice sloka. Yeah? You know that one? Yeah? One sloka. So the gopis are always chanting Krishna's glory, so Krishna's always present in Vrindavan. In that way, he's always associating in that way. And of course his childhood pastimes are all eternal pastimes. There's no beginning and no end to his pastimes. They're all eternal pastimes. So Krishna is always in Vrindavan. Although he has a pastime of leaving Vrindavan, he's always leaving Vrindavan. And he's always in Vrindavan, he's always leaving Vrindavan, and he's always outside of Vrindavan, because he left. So in that sense, he never leaves Krishna. He never leaves Vrindavan either. And in another sense too, it's said that this is actually technical, but the form in which Krishna is existing in Mathura is a different form than Krishna's form in Vrindavan. There's a Sanskrit word for these different forms. Krishna in Dwarka is sometimes called Vasudeva. The original form of Krishna is in Vrindavan, Shamsundar. Therefore, Krishna, Prabhupada is saying in Bhagavad Gita Sloka, always meditate on that original form of Krishna. Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, Govinda. Because that is the original form of Krishna. Original form of God. There's no more original form than that. From which all other forms are coming. Is that Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So therefore Prabhupada is recommending just worship Krishna, that original form. Because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, he's very dear to his devotees. So he's not so dear to the yogis or to anyone else. What's that nice sloka? Sadhava hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tvaham. I am in the heart of the devotees and the devotees are in my heart. I am in the heart of my devotees, and the devotees are in my heart. So Krishna's attraction is for his devotees, actually. This is the point. So where the devotees are glorifying him, there Krishna feels an attraction for that, because Krishna is attracted by devotion. There's only one thing that attracts Krishna, and that's our feeling of love for him. Therefore Krishna says, Patram Pusvam Palam Tayam Yome Bhaktya Prayasiti. If you offer me with love a little fruit or flower or water, then I will accept it. So you may offer Krishna, you know, hundreds of preparations and gold plates, so many mantras in a big temple. If there's no devotion, he's more attracted to go to somewhere where there's devotion. It's just like, of course, there's a famous story about Krishna was invited to eat at Duryodhana's house. Duryodhana had made a big slap-up feast to try and impress Krishna, you know, to win him over to fight with the Kauravas. I may have got the story wrong, but this is something like this. But then Krishna wasn't interested to take that feast. He went to Vidura's, and then Vidura's wife fed him the banana peels by mistake. She was so much in ecstasy that Krishna had come to their house, that she was peeling the bananas and she was giving Krishna the banana peels instead of the banana. And Krishna was eating the banana peels. And they were all in ecstasy. This is how they do in Bengal. If you go to someone's house, and when they serve the bananas, the lady, she peels them for you and puts them on your plate. And you eat that one, then she peels another one like this. She was peeling and putting the banana peels for Krishna to eat. But Krishna was eating, because she was so much full of devotion. This is a famous story. This picture you'll see in many places in India. People love this story. You go in the barber shop to have your head shaved, you know? There'll be that picture on the wall. So Krishna is attracted by devotion. So, of course, Krishna is in the heart of the yogis, but he's in the form of Paramatma. He's in his official form. Krishna has his personal, private, intimate form, and Krishna has his official form. Paramatma is an official form. He's in everyone's heart. That's his official post as Paramatma. But the devotee, he knows his real identity. So that's where Krishna goes, wherever the devotees are. Especially where Sankirtan movement is. Where the devotees are really trying hard to please their spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya. And Krishna is attractive. That's why when you come in the association of devotees, then you think, wow, this is like a different world. This is like Vaikuntha, it's a different atmosphere here than anywhere else. And that's because Krishna is present. Krishna is, we're feeling the presence of Krishna. Okay, any more questions? What's the question? So it's interesting. He said something about that he was told to concentrate on the words of the mantra, yes? Rather than the form of Krishna. Was that the question? What does he think of? when he chants, then what does he think about Krishna? You can also, devotion has to be slow. Yeah. It's true also. You know, that's offensive. Many times we chant, and it is offensive, because we're simply chanting mechanically. So that is also offensive. That's a kind of inattention. So, in a sense, you're right. We should try and be aware that Krishna's in his name, and this is a way of associating with Krishna. But still, the order of spiritual master is there. And he is giving us a particular kind of medicine, 16 rounds a day. So the spiritual master is the messenger of Krishna. And he's like our doctor. So he's encouraging us to do our 16 rounds a day. And he's also encouraging us to do so many other things. And he also showed us how to chant our rounds. And he also sanctioned that devotees chant at that rate. You see the devotees chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The devotees are chanting at that rate. That is the rate which Prabhupada and other devotees, they also find that they can maintain some mood of devotion also, although they're chanting quickly. So, maybe it's simply a question of practice or so. Sometimes when you want to do something else for Krishna, that maybe you want to go and, there's so many things to do for Krishna that you have to speed up your rounds. Maybe sometimes you feel like that. I don't have enough time to do my rounds, but I have to do them. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Like that. So there's also a kind of urgency there. So that's not necessarily, there's no devotion with this as far. There may also be devotion, a mood of devotion. I must go on Sankirtan. I must do these things for Krishna. So, you shouldn't think that because the devotees are chanting quickly, they don't have any devotion. that may be a mistake. I'm sure that's a mistake. Sometimes it may be true. We may chant too mechanically. But many times devotees, they're really concentrating on the name of Krishna, and they know, I've only got 2 hours to chant, and then I have to do this, then I have to do that, then I have to do this, and I want to please Krishna by distributing more books, or I've got to make this preparation, or I've got to do this. So that the whole, like Prabhupada is saying, we have to mold our lives so that we constantly think of Krishna. Also, another thing is that sometimes devotees, we chant slowly when we're very tired. I notice if sometimes it takes me, you know, half an hour to do one round. And that's because I'm falling asleep most of the time. I'm not thinking of Krishna, I'm just nodding off, you know, like this. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah. So therefore, it takes a long time. That's called dive bomb japa. You heard that japa? It's different kinds of japa. One's dive bomb japa. There's another one. I think Prabhupada actually said something that, you know, if you take more than 2 hours, it means you sleep. Prabhupada encouraged us to that speed of chanting. Of course, if anyone chants at any speed, it's wonderful. So I don't want to discourage you. There's also, this is the other extreme. I know one devotee, he tried to do the 4-minute round, just like the 4-minute mile. He was trying to do the 4-minute round. That was too full. You ever tried to do that? A round in 4 minutes? Ever tried it? Very difficult. It's time to do the 4-minute round. Needless to say, he's not in a movement now. He succeeded in doing it, but he succeeded in leaving the movement. Shri Prabhupada King.